Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Amen. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. And maketh manifest the savor, the aroma of his knowledge by us in every place. Thank you, God, for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you from the topic today, triumphant living. Triumphant living. I live triumphant. Somebody say it. I live triumphantly. I live victoriously. I am a winner. I am above only. Never beneath. I am a first-class citizen of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Triumphant living. Triumph is a lifestyle. It's not a theory. In Christ, we win every time. We don't ever lose in Christ. If we lose, we're fighting in us. It's in our own strength. When we fight in our own strength, we are bound to lose. Because we are not strong enough to even keep ourselves motivated to fight. Much the less win the fight. You see, this life we live, the Bible says, is more of a marathon than it is a sprint. And in the flesh, you only have sprint strength, not a marathon makeup. We need the power of God, y'all. And we need to go back to the old landmark, which is where we have faith in God and not in what we know. In some circles, even in Savannah, they say to get a good job is not about what you know, but it's about who you know. And in order for you to win in life, it's always going to be about who you know. Everything we have is in Christ. Let me give you an example before I go on with today's lesson. I was talking to somebody, and I hope they don't mind. I'm not going to disclose who they were. But I was talking to somebody. We're having a conversation about going through some stuff and dealing with some stuff. And the person said to me, well, I just got to man up and deal with it. And when he said that, normally, on a normal day, I probably would have said, yeah, man up. Pull up your bootstraps, tighten them up, and get yourself together. Put your chest out and lift your head up and go to conquer. But this particular day, the Holy Spirit, it prompted me. He prompted me not to accept what the person said, not to put it down, but to push him to do something on a higher level. And I told this gentleman, I said, no, don't man up, Jesus up. Because if you man up, you're going to run out of strength and you're going to end up being frustrated. You're going to end up being tired. You're going to end up being angry. You're going to end up giving up. But if you Jesus up, you'll have renewed strength. You'll have fresh wind of the Holy Spirit and his power and his anointing going with you if you get in Jesus and face what you have to face. We have done too much on our own. That's why we're on the roller coaster of victory and losses. Because in Christ, even your loss is a victory. Because the Bible declares that all things work together for good. So what we're viewing when you're in Christ, somebody say, I'm in Christ, I'm in Christ. When you're in Christ, what you're viewing as a loss is really a victory in disguise, but you have to be able to see it through the eyes of the Spirit and not through the eyes of your flesh. Let's get into the word. All victories are in Christ. All victories. Everybody say all victories. All victories. All victories are in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, and because of Christ. There is no victory outside of Jesus. There is no winning for us outside of Jesus. There is no consistent joy outside of Jesus. There is no consistent peace outside of Jesus. There's no balance to our life outside of Jesus. There's no victory over our enemies outside of Jesus. There is no strength to make it outside of Jesus. There's no joy in your spirit outside of Jesus. Yes, we can have moments of glory, glimpses of glory, but we will never have a consistent lifestyle outside of Jesus. We, as the believers of Christ, as believers filled with the Holy Ghost, have to have consistency in the way we live. If we're going to preach, if we're going to teach, if we're going to walk in a gift, if we're going to walk in an anointing, there's got to be some consistency. People have to see us on our bad day looking good. And I ain't talking about faking it. I'm talking about authentic, feeling good in Jesus, walking in the joy of the Lord. How many of y'all got some stuff going on? How many of y'all got some stuff going on? See, you ain't by yourself. The devil lied to you and told you you were the only one who had something going on. In fact, I might have some stuff going on, but you know what? You're not going to be able to look at us to tell it. No. Let me ask y'all a question about Jesus. Can I ask y'all a question about Jesus right quick? Jesus knew he was going to die every day of his life, but he still had joy. Every single solitary day of his life, he knew he was going to the cross. They were going to whip him with a cat of nine tails. They were going to do him wrong. Every day he sat right next to Judas and knew he was going to betray him. And yet he loved Judas and treated him good. How in the world do you treat somebody good that you knew were going to betray you? How in the world do you be nice to Peter? How do you do this? How do you say to Peter, your name is Peter, which means Petros, small rock, when you know he's going to deny you three times? How do you give him a name, and how do you give him authority? How do you tell him who he is and what he's going to be in the body of Christ when you know that he's going to walk away from you and cuss a slave girl because she pushed him too far? And then after that, go back to him after he messed up and said, my mind hadn't changed about you. I still love you. Even though you failed, I still love you. He said, I prophesied to you that after you're converted, strengthen your brothers. So what I need you to do is I need you to come back, because you know what? I told you that day on the boat when we first started this ministry that you were going to fish for men. And now because you messed up, you out here fishing for fish again. Boy, put that net down and come back to your ministry, because my mind about you has not changed. My mind about you hadn't changed. I still love you, and you still have that gift I gave you, because it's without repentance. You see, that's what you call triumphant living. Because see, Christ calls us to rise up out of the ashes like a phoenix and to get back to our rightful place instead of letting life get us down. Life is built to try to mess us up, but God is built to bring us up. I live triumphantly, bless God. Somebody say, I live triumphantly. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Okay, let's go to the scripture to prove this. Perhaps this is just a theory. Let's go to Corinthians. Oh, there it is right there. It confirms this for us. It says, but thanks be to God. Which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, I have the victory. He gave you victory. You have victory. You're not a loser. You're not second class. You're not barely making it. You're victorious because he gave you victory. In Christ, you are victorious. That's the Bible talking to you now. Look, let's keep going. Psalm 44 and 5. I really like this one. Read this one to Elder Johnson before we came over, and I shouted a little bit for it. Listen to this right here. Through thee, we will push down our enemies. Lord, have mercy. Through thee, we will push down our enemies. Through thy name, we will tread them under that rise up against us. God in you, I can push my enemies down. God and you, anybody that rises up against me, I'm going to walk on them. Oh, God, help me here. So you know what? The devil is your enemy. Huh? Satan is your enemy. You mean to tell me through God you can push Satan down? You mean to tell me every time he rises up against you, you can walk on him? I wish I had somebody in here. Your physical enemies can't do nothing with you. The people who are trying to keep you from your destiny cannot do anything with you, because through God you're able to move them out of your way. And everything that rises up against you, that sickness in your body, walk on it. Some of us need to begin to walk in on some stuff. See, you know what? I'm not an evangelist. I didn't come to do an acrobatic sermon to get everybody excited. I want to speak something deep down into your spirit so that the next time something rises up against you, you know what you say. You start saying, I'm walking on it. I'm walking on this thing. I'm walking on everything that's trying to keep me from my destiny. I'm walking on this thing that's trying to make me depressed in Jesus' name. Depression, I push you down. I was talking to somebody the other day. They told me sometimes they talk out loud to themselves. And they tell that spirit, you ain't going to get on me today. It's not going to be that kind of Monday. The devil is a liar. It's not going to be that kind of Monday. No, no, no. I'm telling you, this is going to be a good day. But through him, we push our enemies down. Every enemy that rises up against them, we shall trample under our feet. Something trying to destroy your home, your happiness, push it down. A lot of times what we do is we allow stuff to grow. And the longer we allow it to hang around, the more strength it gets. Can we talk about something for a minute? They say you bend a sapling while it's young. See, it's the same thing with the spirits that come against you. Some stuff, you got to kill it while it's young. You got to deal with that thing when you see it. When you see that spirit, you got to address it. You can't hope it'll go away. You can't shout and hope it'll disappear. You have to address that thing immediately. Spirit of rebellion in my child, I push you down. You're triumphant. Let me ask you some questions. Have you noticed a trend? Did you notice a trend? All of our victories are in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, because of Christ. Have you noticed the trend? There's no victory without Christ. No victory without Jesus. If you ever won, it's because Jesus did it. Let's look at another. What does he give us victory over? Kind of a Bible study kind of thing today. What do we have victory over? Our enemies? Everything? Everything that comes. Wait a minute. Y'all, be serious now. Come on, it's 2014. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, come on. This is a new wave of time. Come on. You telling me Jesus gives us victory over everything? Then why don't we have victory over everything? Uh-oh. It doesn't mean that we don't have access to victory, or victory isn't available. Perhaps it means we don't access it. Or we don't walk in it. Choose not to. You know, sometimes I think that people would rather be down. He gives us victory over sin. He gives us victory. You've been reading my notes. He gives us victory over sickness. He gives us victory over poverty. He gives us victory over generational curses. He gives us victory over death. Yes. And he gives us victory over Satan. And that's not all. I didn't have enough iPad and I didn't have enough time to list everything he gives us victory over. Just say it to yourself. I have the victory in Christ. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you have coming against you. But I do know that God gave me this word for you today. And if you're here and you're fighting the fight of your life and you feel like you're on the losing end, I'm here to tell you something. You just need to remember a Rocky movie. You just need to have a Rocky-type flashback real quick. Apollo Creed was beating Rocky like he stole something. Eyes swollen, nose broke, one arm dragging behind him. But when that music started playing, dun, 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 and Rocky took that one good arm and hit him and chased him and hit him again. And before you knew it, Rocky was the champion. I guess what I'm trying to say is it don't matter what it looks like now. All that matters is at the end, your hands are raised. See, too many of us are allowing what it looks like currently to make us think we're losers. The winning of a battle does not mean the winning of the war. You may chase me off today, but I will win tomorrow. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and 8. Look at this. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Now I've been thinking about that. How do you lead captivity captive? Isn't captivity the place where captives are held? So you, Jesus, you so bad that you took captive what took me. What used to hold me, you hold it now. He took captivity captive, and then you know what he did? Started passing out gifts. That's a bad man. To take captivity captive and then say to the ones who were held captive, oh yeah, by the way, here's something for your trouble. Colossians 2 and 15. Let's go there. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Every principality and power, he made an open show of them in his victory over them. That's, oh God. See, them little demons and devils and imps and principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high places that we talk about in Ephesians 6, you know what? He says, y'all, you don't really have to worry about them. Just put your armor on, get suited up, because I already whooped them. I made an open show of them. I took them and I did it in the street. We didn't fight behind closed doors. We fought where everybody could see it. When I went to the cross, I whooped every devil, every demon, every spirit, every sickness, everything that the enemy has conjured up to bring you down. Jesus said in the face of everybody, when it looked like I was losing, I was tearing hell up. To the spectators, he looked like a loser. Still still looking like losers to the spectators. They look at us and say, y'all ain't nothing. Y'all don't have, they don't know. Our Jesus is so powerful, y'all. He didn't die until he gave up the ghost. He didn't die until he gave it up. Several times he stopped dying to fulfill scripture. Several times he stopped dying to say, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He stopped dying to say, I thirst. That's a bad man. Man, I have a headache. I don't remember what I'm supposed to do tomorrow. Jesus, man, he made a show of all your enemies out in the open. Why? So we can see that this stuff has no power over us. None of it. It only has the power we allow it to have. First John 3:8. A lot of scriptures. Y'all hang in there with me. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Oh, that's something else there. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, my God. Wow. Let me ask y'all a question. Do you think Jesus failed? Do you think he came to destroy the works of the devil and couldn't get it done? Well, if he did get it done, then why are we allowing the devil's works to work? He destroyed the works of the devil. Sin, sickness, death, depression, poverty, destroyed. Can I get a witness here? Amen. Destroyed. You know what? Totaled. Tore it up. Messed his plans up so that they can't work anymore. Wow. Look at God. Tearing up the devil's stuff. But look at the devil. Still taking that toe up stuff and shaking it at us. Because he's as a roaring lion. He got nothing to work with. All he got is noise. Illusions. Making stuff look like stuff. Even in the Old Testament. Hear me on this. When Moses did a miracle, the magicians could come and duplicate it, copy it. But they couldn't reverse Moses' miracle. So whatever God did, the devil couldn't reverse it. He could just copy it. So when you say, I am the blessed of God, it can't be reversed. All he can do is present something to make you start thinking, maybe I'm not. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you that ye might have what? What? In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of. Now wait a minute. Before we go any further, you're supposed to be of what? Now, did this scripture give us the permission to not be of good cheer if something was happening? No.
There will be tribulation. That brother helped me preach. Y'all a good class today. Thank y'all for being a willing class. There will. Oh, yeah, it just it does say that. In the world, where we live? We in the world, Reverend? By George, we in the world. In the world ye shall have. Well, there it is right there. There it is right there. We're going to have some tribulation. Some stuff going to happen. Beyond our control. Stuff we don't want to happen. But then he swings around and says, but be of good cheer. Oh, now what is there I have to be cheerful about? Tribulation? No! I have overcome the world. That's what you got to have cheer about. That's what you got to be happy about. That's why you ought to have a pep in your step. That's why you ought to be joyous, because he's already overcome the world. If you know something, it changes the way you look at everything. That's why people get happy on Thursday before payday. Thank you, little Rico. Can I get about two or three more witnesses in the house? That's why people get happy the day before the check comes. You don't even have the check. Your whole demeanor changes. Can I get a witness? In fact, people talk about tax day. It's the 31st of December. You hadn't even seen a tax lady or a tax man yet. And you start talking about, woo! You ever seen them? I know you never been them, but you ever seen them? All week long, they come to work. You seen them, Tony. Man, these people around here make me sick. Getting on my nerve. That ain't my job. That ain't in my description. But Friday morning, how you doing? So good to see you. But I tell you, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. They start quoting scriptures and singing songs. This little light of mine, I'm going. And Monday, you couldn't get that out of them. Because they spent, see, all the money was gone after they paid the bills Friday night. But coming up on Thursday, boy, that joy starts returning. Because they know something. They look at that checkbook, man, dad, they look at that checkbook, but then they still feel good because they know something. They know that tomorrow, that thing going in by direct. And when you get your check by direct deposit, some of y'all stay up till midnight. Am I right? Am I right? Yeah. Kick that little office chair back and spin around a couple times. Woo! Because we know something. Same thing when vacation's coming. Act how you want to act. I know that after Friday, I'm going to be gone from here for 2 weeks. See, when you know something, no matter how bad it is while you're in it, it gives you joy in it. So you can have tribulation, but you know something. So you can be of good cheer because you know he has overcome what's trying to overcome you. It's a wrap. It's done. Somebody shout glory.
Glory.
it's already won. Psalm 98 and 1 says it like this. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand, strength and power. His holy arm, his holiness, had gotten him what? The victory. Romans 8:35-37, New Living Translation. I have to thank God for Elder Smith. He was teaching on this so good 2 Tuesdays ago. I went to the New Living and it blessed me. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. Through Christ who loved us. He loved us one time and we got victory. People saying, he loves me. Let me tell you something. He loved you one time and it's lasting you a lifetime. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Jesus loved you once and you still living off that. See, we say he loves us. The scripture says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You are more than a conqueror. You hear what I'm telling you? You are more than a conqueror. That's right. Amen. Don't let life and your past and what's facing you cheat you out of your victory. Cheat you out of your mindset. Because that's all it is. Something to get you to step down from your place that you've been called to live in. God calls you more than conquerors. Yes. And if you're going to be a conqueror, that means you're going to have some stuff to conquer. That's right. If you're going to be an overcomer, that means you're going to have some stuff to come over. Yes. That's what it is. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, y'all hang on. I know this is a scripture we read at funerals, but just hold tight. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what? Death can't even win no more. Death is a loser now. This is. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The grave can't even hold the believer anymore. Jesus fired death and the grave. Gave them their walking papers. Oh, God. Look at this. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I had to go back to that because not even death can beat you if you're in Christ. He says he always causes us to triumph. Everybody say always.
Always.
High school, give us the definition for always. At all times. At every season. On all occasions. Always. Well, let's look at some synonyms then. Consistently. Constantly, continually, ever, forever, invariably, night and day, perpetually, unfailingly, at every turn, at all events, at any rate,
In any case, and in any event, you win. Let's try it again. Consistently, constantly, continually, ever, forever, invariably, night and day, perpetually, unfailingly, at every turn, at all events, at any rate, in any case, in any event, you win. Basically, this means there's never a time when you lose. Yeah, Lasana, when they call you from Atlanta, you end up winning. And the whole ride home, the devil's saying, you lost, you lost, you lost, you lost, you lost, you're a loser. He's forsaken you. He left you. He doesn't love you. You'll never make it. You're going back to where you came from. You're going backwards. You're not a winner. Come on, he's speaking to you, talking to you, trying to make you depressed, trying to make you give up. But then you decided that you keep your head lifted up, that you be of good cheer, because you remember something, he already overcame the world. See, I'm not coming here today, I'm not going to sell you a pipe dream, and I'm not going to tell you that life's going to be perfect and that everything's going to be easy like Sunday morning. I ain't going to lie to nobody in here. The devil going to do everything he can to mess your life completely up. If you're sick, he's going to try to make you sicker. If you're broke, he's going to try to make you broker. But you got to know something deep down in your mind and in your spirit. I am a winner. I am triumphant in Christ. No, no, no. I am not just saved. I am blessed. I am not just saved. I am healed. I am not just saved. I am whole. I am not just saved. I have joy. I am not just saved. I have peace. No, I'm not gonna wait until I get to heaven to have my joy, to have my peace. No, I'm going to have it right. Somebody say it with me, right now. And I mean it. Hold tight. No, we don't have time for pep rallies when the devil's already in the game. He's on the field, suited up, and he's playing to win. We come into church and having pep rallies. And we leave and we go out on the field. And we're suffering losses. We don't have to suffer losses. When you know you're the winner, going into a fight, Keturah, it changes the way you fight. You have a confidence level. You go into that doctor's office knowing that whatever report he gives you, with his stripes, I am healed. They fire you off your job, and they thought it was going to break you. They thought it was going to throw you into depression. That's why many of our jobs are always threatening to fire us. That's why they use that in order to keep us at bay and to keep us subjugated. But see, when you understand that my God shall supply all of my needs. So if you do fire me, sir, God's gonna take care of me. He gave me this job, and he'll give me the next job. He'll give me the next job. What you call a demotion ain't nothing but a promotion. He's raising me up. You walk away, somebody else will walk in. I might cry for a minute, but I'm going to dry my eyes. Because while I was crying, I got a revelation. That he says, I'll wipe all your tears away. He says, I'll make your future so good, you won't even remember your past. Somebody say, I win. Say it, I win. I am triumphant.